Hi, this is Ben Trefney, KALW's news director, and now is the time to support KALW. This is our spring membership drive, and we are asking for your support at KALW.org. Click the Donate Now button. Now, enjoy what we have to say.
Welcome back to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. And joining me for the first piece today is Leela Day, my co-host on our new podcast on Black identity called The Stoop.
There are a lot of things that define Black speech patterns. Mm-hmm. And one of them is this thing called the interdental fricative.
Interdental fricative.
It's something we hear all the time. You know, who this, who that. They so crazy.
They crazy. Basically, it's when people pronounce the th sound in words like this and that as a D sound. So it becomes that, those, these. It's something that predominantly happens in Black speech.
It's important because how we sound can make a difference in a lot of ways. Like, it has to do with who people think we are, maybe even how we're treated, how people react to us.
Mm-hmm. And it can really affect how we feel comfortable with who we are. Mm-hmm. So what does it mean when people tell you you sound Black or you sound white? That's what we're talking about today on The Stoop. This is Leela Day, and that is...
This is Hannah Baba.
Well, let's stoop this thing out with someone who has a lot to say about this.
And she's right here in our backyard.
Yeah.
From Oakland, California to Tanaka Hodge.
This is Trina's world. She walks above it all. Ghetto brown gel slicks Cosmo's back in her hair easily. She walks quickly. No time to talk. Shoots insults over her shoulder. Your mama. She's living for her lover's memory and he's not even dead yet. This is the sound. Pickles in red Kool-Aid sticking to her lips like blue now-laters, spiced apple cider, sunflower seeds, chitlins, and abject poverty. She's 14. Womanly. Big bosomed, bigger bottoms. Everybody wants to hold her thigh, hold her breast, hold her back. No one wants to hold her hand.
That is powerful.
That's Chinaka Hodge, Oakland poet, educator, playwright, and screenwriter.
And she did a TED Talk.
And that poem we just heard, Chinaka wrote that based on what she can see out of her window in West Oakland.
Mm-hmm. So that's where we went, to talk about voice.
How we sound and why it matters.
So let's go to West Oakland and hang out on her stoop.
The stoop is very much our kitchen and our living room and our sink, and it's been lots of things over the years. My dad comes out here and plays drums from time to time. We got a lot of stairs, a lot of stoops, and a lot of conversations here, but welcome.
So has anyone ever told you that you sound white?
Absolutely. Absolutely. On many occasions. I went to two small, independent Black schools, so I had a different education than most straight out the gates. And so I left those schools and went to Cole Middle School in West Oakland, and that was the first time anyone had told me I'd sound white, but I'd never gone to school with any white folks. I went to a Black gymnastics center and I rode horses with the Black cowboys and I did Black tennis camp. So in many ways I was bougie, but I'd never heard that I sounded white because I'd never been around white folks. I sounded like every Black person I'd ever been around. But when I got to Cole, there was definitely a different lexicon, a different phonology. And it actually encouraged me and impelled me to study African American vernacular English when I went away to university. So I got to study with Renee Blake out of Stanford University, who was then on faculty at NYU, whose major focus is copula, or forms of the verb to be, which was very interesting to me. And so I actually did a concentration in linguistics with a focus in African American vernacular English for my undergraduate degree. And so I've been told I sound white. I've been able to unpack that. I've been able to...
You studied it.
I studied it.
Yeah, what does
that
mean,
though? I
studied
it for quite some time. So I don't think there's a such thing as sounding white.
Yeah.
When someone says that, I was like, do I sound white like a Scottish person? Do I sound like white like a Brahmin in New England? Do I sound white like someone from Utah? Where's my tongue in my mouth when I sound white? Are there interdental fricatives? You know, like I ask all of those things. And then at the same time, I do know what it means to switch. What Renee Blake called artfulness. Arfulness back in the day.
What's that?
Arfulness.
Arfulness is a term that she coined, I believe, but it's about the level to which an R is pronounced or not in a word that often provides distinction
between
one sounding black or white. So I actually did mine, our final for that course was to listen to a musician and just basically get I think 250 different examples of him using words that have R's in them and then measure the amount of R that was in it. So we chose E40, who actually has more R-fulness than most people in African America. He tends to stress the R's.
America.
Like America, you know, 40 water.
Everybody got choices. I choose to get money, I'm stuck to this bread. Everybody got choices. Switches and shifties and I'm all in their head. Everybody got choices. Keep it 1,000, I'd like that I chouse. Everybody got choices.
You know, he would say his little bit more, whereas like a too short might lean back off the R a little bit.
That's interesting. I'm realizing my mom always says water.
Water, yeah. I'm trying to think of somebody who has like a definite East Coast sound and quote some art, like what would Biggie Smalls say?
It's all good, baby. It was all a dream.
What would Biggie say?
It was all a dream, and there's an R in there, but it's between two consonants, so that changes some of the rules. I can nerd out on you guys really hard, obviously, and I haven't studied in quite some time, but all of this I think affected my writing and affected the way I thought about what presenting blackness meant, what performing blackness meant, and what being blackness meant. And so I think all of that gets touched on when you ask if somebody sounds white. It's like, well, do I? And what does that mean? And I think it's always an affront when someone says you sound white, whether yeah. it's a black person or a white person who said it to me in the past.
And if you don't know, now you know, nigga.
We were talking about, like, what do you think it would sound like if we actually weren't so aware of when we switch our voices back and forth? If we just spoke, like, if you turned on the news and you just heard someone say, "What's up? Good evening. It's time to watch the news." Like, if you just heard that normal kind of family voice and the way that we talk around family, what do you think, like, it would, do you think it would sound different?
I think it might sound different, Lee. I don't know what it would be like. I feel like in some ways I wouldn't want that. Part of the way that we speak to each other is our code, and we invented it for survival, and we need it from time to time. So I don't know. I don't want them to know all our hair secrets and all our cooking secrets and all our
vocal secrets. Right?
We need some of them for ourselves, and yeah. I think that's part of the magic that keeps us young and vital and alive. You know, I think that having a language our own in a time where our children are being murdered, I think is an effective tool. So I like speaking lots of languages, but I don't know. I feel like folks need to be initiated into ours.
Have you ever been in a situation where you were asked to sound blacker?
Oh yeah.
Like the other way.
Right. Yeah. I have been asked, and I have other friends who've been asked that, but then they don't. I mean, it typically unravels, you know, rather quickly with me because I just talk a lot. I can't say that on your show. I talk
no,
a lot
can.
Of crap on.
No, you can't.
I talk a lot of crap, so that usually opens a door much wider for whatever producer or college programmer brought me to their site. I'll begin this conversation immediately. Well, what do you mean? What do you want me to do?
Well, how do they say it?
Can you
tone it up?
Can you? Do you think you could just there's always like a.
Do they dance like that when they?
You
say
know,
it?
I won't say who, but it's actually less with folks at that, because by the time someone brings me in to do poems at a school, they have a pretty good sense of who I am, and you know. But I did voiceover work for a while, and they give me notes like we wanna market to a more urban group. We want it to feel a little grittier, or a little harsher, and so I started recording 3 takes of it, anything. So I'll say like, Nabisco cookies are great to eat. That'd be the first take. The second take I would always do in sort of like what it would be like if I were performing a poem. So I'd be like, Nabisco cookies are great to eat. A little more energy, a little more enthusiasm. And then they inevitably would pick the third one where I would like do this before and be like, Nabisco cookies are great to eat. That would be the one that they picked. They always pick the third one. 100% of the time.
That did sound like the best one to me.
Hey, it is what it is.
I like that one.
I mean, you're in my target demo, so.